Welcome to the Sis Collective, the podcast. I'm your host, Samantha, mindset mentor, wellbeing practitioner, and your new soul sister. Here to bring you all things wellness, personal development, and mindset. This podcast is designed to nourish your soul, up-level your mindset, and unleash your inner potential so you can rise up to your next level. I'm on a mission to bring modern-day conscious women together. So if that's you, welcome to your brand new sisterhood. So take a seat and come join us inside the Sis Collective. Hello, beautiful people. Welcome back to another episode on the podcast. I am so excited for what we have in store for you today. This episode has been in the vault, ready to go for when we were launching our brand new era on the podcast. And I'm just so, so excited. I've just given it another listen myself and listening to the raw, honest realness of the conversation, I just think you guys are in for a treat. We are not holding back in this episode. We are literally diving in completely unedited, unfiltered. Well, as much as you can be unfiltered. We took out the coughs and the spluts, but we're relatively unfiltered. And we're just sharing it all. If you've obviously not seen the title, this is everything about energetic agreements and relationships, signs of maybe not so healthy relationships. We talk about toxic friendships, toxic relationships, the mask that we unconsciously wear in relationships as well. Not so many people are often aware of that. We completely dive into that. The role of social anxiety and how that impacts friendships, relationships, all of those things. And value shifting in relationships. What happens when your values shift? What happens if you no longer feel like you're aligning anymore? And what you can do about it when you're feeling lonely, when you want to make new friends in your 20s, into your 30s, however old you are, how you can do that, and our top tips for that as well. And honestly, I think you're gonna get so much out of this episode. There is so many little nuggets, little tips, little reflections that I really just hope just help, really help for anyone who is listening, who is kind of going through it at the moment, and this feels like a topic for you. I really do hope that it just gives you something to just take away and reflect on and just realize actually you really are not alone. You are not alone in this. There's so many people going through things that are similar. And yeah, I hope this brings some enjoyment and also some comfort. So it is a long one. This is about an hour and 20 minutes, 25 minutes, I think, that we went for. So my recommendation would be get cozy. Whether you're at home or you're out and about, get cozy, get comfortable, get a nice hot drink, and really just sit and just enjoy and let this wash over you. I really hope that you get something out of it, and I really hope you enjoy. So without further ado, I'm going to leave you with Pastor Sam and the beautiful Scarlett from the Scarlett Sanctuary, who is not only a very special guest, but also a special friend. And she has gladly come on to have this wholesome, unedited conversation with us today. So yeah, really do hope you enjoy it. And also, if you do enjoy it and you like this kind of unedited, just really natural girls chat, please let us know. Because if you don't let us know and we don't hear from you guys and we don't get it in the reviews, then we won't know whether to bring more to you, talk about new topics, talk about more things. I mean, we enjoyed it so much, so we'd happily bring some more topics to the podcast. But we can't do that if we don't know how you guys have found it, if you've actually even enjoyed it. So please do let us know. Please write a review. Please DM me directly at the Sis Collective _. There'll also be all the details of everything that we talk about from the podcast, Scarlett's details, Instagram, website, everything like that. That will all be in the show notes as well. So you can come find us both in there if you are interested. And I will let you go, guys. Go and enjoy the episode. I really hope it serves you. Enjoy. I'm so excited. So I have a very special guest with me today, which we are actually recording live. So I've never done this before. We have the whole setup. We have hot chocolates. We have lighting. We're going to have some footage on like Instagram. We think. We hope.
So we're going to have some footage, hopefully from this, but we have got like cozy vibes going on. It's getting a bit dark and we're sat here. And so I haven't actually introduced my beautiful guest who's going to be on the podcast today. So I'm here joined by the wonderful Scarlett. So on Instagram, you can find her at the Scarlett Sanctuary.
The Scarlett Sanctuary, yeah.
At the Scarlett Sanctuary. She is a very good friend of mine, and today we're just going to have some really, really deep chats. Like, we've got a couple of things on our heart that we want to talk about, right? That we're just feeling really pulled to share on. So yeah, we're going to dive in, but what we want to do to start, I think, is just be really, really chilled and like do some card pulls, I think. And then we want to set the intention for this episode. And yeah, just find out, lean into the energy. So do you want to do the honors or shall I?
Yeah, let's get some cards going. Yeah, let's see what's
the deck of choice. So we've got the
shall we do this one? Because we've both got these ones, haven't we? Let's do this one.
So this is the Work Your Light deck by Rebecca Campbell.
Love these ones, they're so beautiful. I use them all the time actually.
That's such a pretty deck.
One on top of your one from before. So what are we pulling on of just kind of what we want to create right now, right? Of what we want.
I feel like, something for the listeners as well, like let's tap into I just had a really good idea. I think let's do like a 3-card pull. So the listeners pick a number and we're gonna
I did one like that yesterday actually, when you kind of like look at it and see which one you want.
So like we'll do for everyone listening, we're gonna do like 3 separate cards. We're gonna do 3 separate cards, but we're gonna say a number. Pick into the number that you feel called to.
Oh, 3 came out. Perfect.
Stop.
Perfect.
3 just fell onto Scarlett's lap. Okay. So should we do 1, 2, or 3?
So we've got 1, 2, and 3 here.
Okay.
Yeah. I might hold them up even, or no, I suppose they can't really
I don't know,
of what you wanna. Yeah, I'll name that one, 2, and that 1, 3.
Okay, so everyone who's listening, just take a minute, tap into which number you feel most called to, whether it's 1 or 2. Or maybe it's 3. Maybe we should pick 1.
I was gonna say, what do you I'm feeling 1. For some reason mine's like 1, yeah.
Ah, 2's coming up for me, I think. So yeah, whatever number comes up for you guys, just pick it.
And just trust it as well, I think. Sometimes it's so easy to overthink this, of almost being like, what is it supposed to be? It's supposed to be this thing. And I would say just go with literally the thing that doesn't overthink that voice. It's like, it's 1. And the more you do that, I think, the more, because lots of people, like on a side note, will often say that. I don't know if you get that too, but lots of people will be like, how do you know with this kind of thing? Like, how are you supposed to trust it? And it's like, listen to the quietest voice, the quietest one that's not. It's like, it's that one.
Try and let your inner voice choose, and not let the loud ego voice get in the way. But should we start with number 1?
Okay, number 1. So number 1 is protection. Protection. So call back your power, cut your cords, and soul retrieval. So such a powerful card, right? Of literally, and I think this will probably come into a lot of the conversations we might have today in terms of how much you do protect or don't protect your energy, even with people that you love, people that you like, people that are your friends.
I feel like that's like so true. Like, honestly, that's such a good card.
And who you might need to actually cut cords with, whether that be exes, whether that be people who are still in your life, but you've maybe got a really unhealthy cord attached. Mm-hmm. So room for protection for whoever's.
Yeah, that. Yeah, should whoever. We also read the booklet as well?
Should we read the book?
I'm just thinking for those of you listening that want to resonate with something else that's in here.
This is my one, so I want to hear more of what you
okay, so what we got for? Okay, protection, call back your power, cut the cords, soul retrieval. So you're being called to protect your energy and call back your power. May all the lost pieces return home now. Take a look at who and what drains your energy. Do not keep your tabs open. Shut down energetically each night. Energetic cords are formed between people, places, objects, and events, so it's important to keep checking in. Your energy and energetic space are sacred, so treat them as such. Keeping your energy clear takes work. As we go through life, we can give away our power, so it is important that we call it back by cutting energetic cords or doing a form of healing known as soul retrieval. Can you think of a traumatic event, relationship, or soul memory that you're being called to call back your power from? Check into your body now and see what chakra feels like it needs a bit of an energetic cleanup. So there is a little activation in here, but it's quite long, so I might not read that. But yeah, if anyone resonates with anything more from that, I feel like just hearing a little bit more about the chords, I was like, yes, I feel like this is going to be so connected to what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, I really do too.
I'm excited. So let's see what number two is. So I picked number two.
Yours is number two, right?
So let's see.
So number two is pillar of light. So really similar to that age of light one that you got. So pillar of light, your vibration is rising. You are the oracle. Beautiful card. All about really like raising that vibration and letting yourself raise that vibration. Yes. They kind of go hand in hand as well, right? Because if you're not protecting your energy enough, then it's quite hard to do that. It's quite hard to keep concentrating on your own vibration in that way.
Absolutely. And I think so much in life can get in the way of your vibration, get in the way of your just you being able to protect yourself and protect your well-being. And I think that I used to be the sort of person, I was like, so good at protecting my well-being, clearing my energy. And sometimes when life gets really busy, I feel like it's really easy to let that go and to not be making sure that you're cleaning up. Like,
you just forget
cutting those cords, making sure. Yeah, because before you know it, like, I don't know about you, but after a few days, suddenly I'm like, why do I feel this? Why do I feel angry? And like, you've picked up energy, you've picked up all sort of things, especially what kind of like work you're in. If you're in like healing, if you're in like coaching industry work, you are going to be touching so many different people's lives. You've got to make sure that you protect your energy. And I need to make a better effort to do that.
It's like, I always describe it to my clients as like energetic hygiene. It's literally like you take a shower after do something. So it's almost like, how do you shower off? And I think as well, it's not about being like, oh, I can only be around positive people and I'm so positive and it's positive. But it's more just like we all have stuff we're holding on to. And yeah, it's just knowing what's yours and what someone else is.
Absolutely.
What belongs to you and
exactly.
What doesn't.
Yeah. Because this is the thing, I think a lot of people may be listening who might not realise, and I definitely think I didn't realise for a long time, is people's energy can rub off on you and you really end up taking on stuff that's not yours.
Yeah.
And it's being able to kind of go, that's not mine. I'm just going to take that off now.
That's
not mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to read this one out as well for all our listeners. So, pillar of light, your vibration is rising. You are the oracle. So you are heaven and earth in perfect expression. Oh my God, I don't have to say this word. Conduit?
Oh, I struggle with that one too. Conduit.
A conduit for the light of the heavens to the earth. You are the rainbow bridge. Take time to meditate. Imagine yourself as a pillar of light, connecting the light of the heavens above with the earth. As the light shines through each of your chakras, you activate the rainbow bridge that many ancient scriptures speak about, raising your vibration and the vibration of the planet. Getting tongue-tied. Should have done some like chanting or something before this so I could really get my vocals warmed up. Although we were like chatting each other's ears off before we started.
Yeah, I think we did a lot of like training
we
before.
We did so much chatting and catching up, and then we were like, the podcast.
Actually, it's your podcast now.
Yeah. Okay, so linking the higher realms of the cosmos, guides, angels, and spirit with the ancient wisdom keepers and beings of planet Earth. They dance together through you, they sing together through you. Without your body, voice, and creations, neither can be expressed. For too long, we've been taught that God is outside of us, giving away our power to angels and spirit guides. But without you, they do not have a voice. You are the oracle. Do not look for guidance outside, for you hold all the wisdom of the entire universe in the portal of your heart, in every cell of your body. Do not see the angels and guides as above you, for without you, they have no way of communicating. You are the oracle. You're the rainbow bridge. You're the pillar of light.
Mm.
What a lovely card.
Do you know what? I love that one. Because I think it's like, there's so much in there about like not looking outside of yourself, which
totally agree.
I mean, we can all do, right? Like, I'll definitely have moments when I'm like doubting myself and doubting stuff. And I think sometimes you do need to go, right, hey, what does everyone else think of this thing? But I think if anyone who's listening is somebody who struggles particularly with that, it can just make life so much more complicated, because then you're going, right, what does everyone think I should do with this? And what do you think I should do with this? And before you know it, you've got 10 people's opinions and you don't actually know what you want. But I think it's almost remembering, like with this card, I always think, remember, you actually do already know. You know, there's a time and a place. Yep, you know, have a sounding board for people when you need it, but you might be somebody who's picked that card number two that really kind of almost just doesn't trust yourself enough and places the opinion of friends, other people around you above really your own. I mean, I don't know what you see in that, but that's what really came to me when you were saying that.
And I think actually what you were saying about you already know, like you already have the answers, you already know what you want. And I think it's really interesting. I'm not going to spoilers, although actually by the time this is aired, the news might already be out, but there is some really big personal news that's coming. I'm sure I'll have a podcast episode all about that. But what was really interesting is before we started, me and Scarlett were talking about it, and there were several decisions before where I kept pulling cards, and it was like they weren't really the right thing. And then when I found the right thing, I already knew, and I didn't need to pull a single card in it. And I thought that was weird. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot to pull cards on that choice, that decision. And actually then it's sort of realizing that's because we are all pieces of the universe. We already know what we need and what the answers are, but we often end up seeking that outside ourselves. And actually it's a really lovely thing I like about cards, is because it's not about looking for some, I don't think. I think a lot of people come into it thinking that they're going to get the answer from the cards, but actually I think the cards are about tapping into the answer from you, aren't they?
Definitely. It's reflection. It's almost kind of use it as a mirror, and also notice if, like you're saying, if you're someone who's going, oh my gosh, what's the cards going to say? And who's this person who could read my cards that's going to tell me what this thing is? No, you've come away from yourself. You've come away from the all-knowing part of yourself that absolutely knows all the time.
Yeah,
you just
absolutely.
Might not trust you do.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Should we hear the last one?
Three. Yeah, let's go with three.
All of those who picked three.
Oh, the Pleiades?
I never know how to say this one either. Palladians. Should we get Google?
So this one's, it's a really interesting one, isn't it? Because this one is quite, I would say one of like the more very spiritual ones in the pack. Like new age, let's say, ones in the pack. But I think... see this as like a storyline. Some people will believe that literally the Pleiades had existed or do exist. If you don't, that's okay. But go with the idea of even the idea of this is maybe going to tap into something. So double mission, channeling and uplifting humanity.
Okay, should we hear what Google says for how to say this?
Yeah.
Pleiades.
Maybe Pleiades.
Pleiades.
Okay, Pleiades.
Pleiades. Pleiades. She says it in such a good accent. Pleiades. And this is coming from two very, very spiritual sisters, and we're just like, how do you say this spiritual word?
Because I've heard of the Palladians. I don't know if that's the same thing.
Yeah.
Pleiades. Either way, beautiful spiritual
beings
that are coming through.
Pleiades.
That's British, right? Pleiades. So Pleiades.
Mix?
It is a bit of a mix. Anyway. you know, it's got to have a bit of raw honesty. We don't always know everything, do we?
Should we hear what
lovely book has got to say? So if you
pick this. Interesting if you pick this, yeah, because this might be a really, one that you might not even realise that you're,
And actually,
a channel.
Yeah, if you are very spiritual, you might tap into this. But if you're not as well, I think it'd be nice to also hear, let us have a little think about what that else that could mean. So let me just read it out. So the Pleiades, hopefully I said that right, are a group of star beings dedicated to raising the vibration of the planet and sharing new consciousness through creations and technology. They've been incarnating on Earth since near the beginning of humanity. You are a soul who has a double mission, to grow at soul level and to raise the vibration of the planet. If you've been called to write, speak or channel, this is your sign to keep doing it. Oh, love that. Your work is divinely guided. Of all the souls, Pleiadians are the chattiest. And so perhaps you have already started channeling some of this work into the third dimension. Thank you for doing your part in the great plan. Your presence and unique light is needed. I feel like for some reason, what just came up for me was to all the sisters, all of our girls who are, you know, trying to make it on Instagram, or like, well, not actually trying to make it on Instagram, but trying to build their businesses.
Yeah.
And also use Instagram, because at the end of the day, your business is what you're really passionate about. But I feel like women who want to share their voice via those different sort of social medias, different platforms, podcasts, all those sort of thing, and are probably feeling that energy stirring within them, like ready for them to be able to start kind of stepping over and actually sharing and actually being brave. I feel like this card was your sign that you're going in the right direction and to keep doing that. Definitely. That's what I feel like. I don't know. That's what just came through to me.
I really, yeah. to share. I feel that. I really feel that. And it's kind of just letting yourself, like, the word that really came out to me when you were saying that is, like, the chattiness. Ooh. It almost, like, made me laugh a bit, like, that kind of, like, if you've got that part of yourself that just wants to chat and talk and chat, like, that's such a lovely quality in someone to actually get conversation flowing with people. And I think if you are someone that has that to you, then you need people around you to do that with, that wants to chat about all the things you want to chat about.
What a segue into what we're going to talk about today. What a segue. So what me and Scarlett, there was like a couple of things that we were kind of talking about of what we really wanted to share on this podcast. And the main thing for us was it to feel like you are sitting here with just two sisters, two gals, two spiritual women who are also, you know, have that similar interest, are like-minded, and actually just share on some topics that maybe you don't hear people talking about. Maybe you don't have anyone in your life to necessarily, like, discuss these things. We're not sure if it's going to be more than one episode. I mean, this could be it. Actually, if this has gone out and it's gone live, then that's an achievement, because we're also like, this might completely flop. We don't even know if the mic's close enough. Like,
that is so true.
Just,
this is actually recording.
Yeah, it's definitely recording. Oh, we're
good. We can see it.
I deliberately turned the laptop around just to stop me getting paranoid and not feeling I need to check. But we've also got a little bit of a video going. So yeah, we just wanted to come together and we wanted to talk about different things, talk about friendships. We wanted to talk about things that you won't necessarily usually hear people sharing on. So today was really going to think about, like, friendships, relationships, boundaries, all these different things that I think are so, so important. And actually, like, you just don't hear of often. Like, I think I really wish, like, I really wish there was certain podcasts that I was directed to at times in my journey when I, like, needed to hear them and actually understand myself on a deeper level, where you're just like, yeah, you're just sitting there with two girls, or even if it's like a solo person, but they're talking about things that you're like, oh my god, why is no one else talking about this? Like, why? You know, you can't sit and have dinner or feel like you're having dinner with your girlfriend's talking about these sort of things, but actually we just wanted to just make it a bit more normal and just share different things that are on our heart. So I guess what might be really nice to start off with is a little bit about our journey and how we came together and how we met. So
do you know what? I'm just thinking as you're saying that, I have a feeling it's around our 1 year anniversary of friendship.
Yeah. Oh, cheers.
Because I think we cheers. Yeah. I think we met in November last year.
Yeah, actually,
around this time.
October. I think it was October.
It's our anniversary.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, happy anniversary. Was it Friends anniversary?
Friends anniversary. 1 year.
Yay. Yeah. Oh my god, it does feel like longer than that.
It does
though.
Feel longer than that.
Me and Scarlett are convinced we met in a past life. So, you know.
Convinced. Yeah, that's a whole other thing, isn't it? Yeah. We're convinced we were like,
that is a whole podcast.
Guys
episode.
In a past life. We've been
stop.
There. We've been to
We have these. Been there. Love it.
We're in the war together. We were
100%. So it's our little 1 year as well, which is really nice. But yeah, I think it'd be really good to kick off, because actually what is so interesting is, yes, we're in, you know, similar spaces, similar kind of fields of work, slightly different, slightly different audiences, kind of niches, I guess, if you want to put it in like a business sense, but actually from that same sort of space. And we kind of came together and technically met through Instagram.
We did. The wonders, the good stuff that social media can bring. Yeah. Oh,
absolutely. It can bring people together.
I think we was maybe kind of like, obviously followed each other and then didn't know really who each other was.
Yeah.
And then I just remember getting just such a good feel from you and just thinking, I want to be friends with this person. Like, I just wanted to reach out. And I think it is that weird thing when I think back of, like, was that really kind of creepy thing to do, sliding into your DM?
It was the best thing. I'm so glad Scarlett said it, because I'm like, I'm not going to say it, but she 100% slid into my
DMs.
I
really, really slid into your DMs. I really did. I was just like, I like you. I want to talk to you. Let's be friends. Or let's chat. Because
brilliant.
Almost like we needed that real life aspect to it. Because when you're
absolutely
on Instagram,
luckily, what are we, like, 20 minutes away from each other?
Literally. Didn't have a clue where he was. Didn't even know where he was in the UK.
Yeah.
Realised you live in London. Yeah. Realised you're literally down the road from me.
Yeah. And it completely aligned as well. Because I think, like, what's so funny is, I mean, obviously, I'm going to digression of where I've moved and why, but being back in London at that point as well, and I was very much opening myself up to manifesting, you know, spiritual women, entrepreneur women in my life, and I was completely open. And I just think, like, oh, I just love the universe when something so divine like that happens, where I was like, I felt so open. And I think I actually said to you, didn't I, in the message, oh my God, yes, I'm actually manifesting like spiritual women right now. Yeah. I was like, you have just popped into my DMs at the perfect time.
I was doing the same. I was like, you know, it's, I just wanted more people, like-minded people around me. And I remember thinking, who could that be? And then we met up.
And then the rest is history.
The rest is history, yeah. Many, many chats later, a year later.
Absolutely. I think it completely meant to be. And I just feel grateful, happy. And it's just nice to connect, like we said, with someone on more of a soul level. And I think actually that is literally also what I think is kind of going to be a bit of the trend of the podcast, is knowing and understanding those healthier relationships, soul level friendships. And how do you know, and how do you kind of, what are the good signs, as well as also what the signs of like difficult friendships and relationships as well. I think it'll be, it'd be really lovely for us to just like dive in and just start thinking about it. I have a couple of things that we were thinking of talking about. So, I mean, we probably don't want to dive in straight to the heavy stuff.
Go deep.
That would be like, straight into like, so what's a toxic pattern? I think that's the greatest way to start. But should we talk about boundaries? So is that always a good place to start?
I think, why not? Anywhere. I think boundaries is a good, because, you know, boundaries, I think, goes in a lot into that first one and that protection one. All of them in some way, but that protection one of really basically making sure you have them, you hold them, you even know what they are. You might have heard of that word boundaries. You might feel like you are really clued up on what that means, got a really good idea of it. Or you might start, you might still be thinking, I don't really get it. Because I remember I first kind of came across understanding that term back when I would have been training as a counsellor. And I do remember thinking, I don't really get what that word exactly means. It took a while for me to sort of really warm up to understanding it. But
it's ambiguous, probably the way, best way of describing it. It's quite a broad sort of, you're like, what does that really mean? And also, what does it look like for you individually? Because I think everybody listening is going to have different boundaries that they need to set, whether that's in relationships, family, you know, friendships, or also boundaries for just what you're available for, like in general, like the standard you set yourself, like in work, in business, all of those different things.
They're everywhere. They are, it's boundaries everywhere. Are everything, and they're everywhere. I sort of see them as, I know how you see them as, we'll kind of like collaborate on how we probably see them, because it'd be good to know what you do. I see them as a couple of ways. I see them as, do you know where your yeses are and your noes are? Sometimes that's a simple way to see it. Do you know when something's a yes from you and you feel you can follow through and say yes? Do you know when something's a no from you and you can follow through and say no? But the other way I would see it is almost like your skin is a boundary, right? Your skin is a very physical boundary that protects your organs, literally whatever's inside that body from the outside world.
I love that, thinking about it like that.
And it's almost like, I see it's like an extension of that. So you wouldn't walk around without your skin. You wouldn't go, maybe it's really like not fair to like have skin, because then that blocks people from you. You wouldn't even consider it with skin. Whereas lots of people would be like, is it okay for me to kind of energetically, emotionally have that mental, emotional, etc. boundary? It's an extended skin in some ways.
I love putting it like that. And I think that is, nail on the head of exactly what boundaries are, because I think so many people don't really get what it is, or even how to put one in. And I think that's actually maybe something we could start about, is actually thinking about what they look like in relationships and what they look like in friendships. Because I think what can happen really easy within relationships and friendships is that you set up a bit of a energetic agreement with who you are and how you show up in those friendships and relationships. And you know, you could probably see that a lot with like relationships where it's like, I don't know, you get like the wounded guy and the girl wants to save him, and you know, she
been
will
there.
I mean, a lot of us can relate to that one, but you get yourself tied up where you say, for example, you meet that guy and you're just like, he's such a sweetheart though, he needs saving, but he's really like wounded and like, you know, I don't know how else to describe him. But you might find that you then set up that kind of energetic agreement where you kind of become his savior. You're rescuing him all the time. So you bend your boundaries and you bend your values to kind of make that work a lot of the time. And I think that could be like a just a really clear one of how that can happen in a relationship. But also I think that happens in friendships and family as well. I mean, like, so easy in certain relationships, especially for things like family, where, you know, that's been like years. Sometimes these people, like, there's like, if it's like your parents or whatever, like, you literally don't know how to the aesthetic hanging plant is attacking Scotland.
My boundaries between me and the plant is not
there
strong.
There is
right
nothing.
Now.
There is no boundaries between you
really
and that plant.
My personal space.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you see it where it's almost like in especially some friendships and family where you don't know how to set that boundary, or if you set a boundary, you can sometimes be labelled as selfish or rude, or, you know, not thinking about others. And that is not the case at all. I think that if you are being labelled that, that's coming from a projection of that person who's then trying to see, thinks that you're being selfish, when actually having a boundary is looking after yourself. It's self-care. It's so, so important. Yeah,
definitely that. I think that if there's somebody saying that, you know, if you're setting reasonable boundaries and somebody's saying that, the likelihood is they're benefiting from you not having them. That is something I really see time and time again. It's like, why would someone want to be like, no, but I need you to come today. Like,
yeah,
you're tired, you don't want to make it. No, I don't care. I need you to come today. They're benefiting from it.
Yeah.
There is a fine balance, I think, because I do have a lot of people who say to me, well, I don't want to become like this super selfish person that is only thinking about myself. And I often have said, but that's, again, that's not what boundaries are, because it's not, that would be a barrier.
Yeah.
That's what I would say is a barrier. It would be like thick block wall between you and the rest of the world. You don't think about anybody else but you.
Yeah.
That's not what this is. Boundary is, it allows you to maneuver and kind of dance with someone else. Again, like your skin. Yeah, if you had armor on, you wouldn't be able to do much with someone.
Yeah, yeah.
But with skin, you can be like, hi, nice to meet you. And you move around it without someone being literally inside your physical body.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got to be flexible.
Yeah.
It does have to be flexible.
I absolutely love that.
You've got to have them.
Yeah.
I think
they're completely non-negotiable. And I think actually, if you don't have any boundaries in your relationships, in your friendships, in your family, I think it's a really good opportunity to kind of tap back into yourself and be like, what are my needs? What actually matters? Because I think often, you know, people pleasing is sort of bending your own needs and bending your boundaries and then ending up pleasing everyone else, but then you burn out. Like, you can't do it forever. You burn out, you feel, you know, energetically drained, because a lot of people then expect you to be the person that says yes to everything. Whereas, like, a little bit like you said earlier, you've got to tap into what's a yes and what's a no. And I think you can easily become a recovering people pleaser by just starting to practice the word no, and actually tapping into when do I actually need to, like, draw my line here? Like, when do I need to say, like, this is the point where then I need to see, like, actually it is no. And I think that we get so sucked up with definitely certain relationships in our lives where we feel like we need to say yes. We say yes, we say yes, we say yes, and we just feel drained, and it doesn't feel like that relationship's then serving us or feels helpful anymore. And actually, sometimes, you know, sometimes it's like friendships, you know, drift apart and grow apart, but actually sometimes as well it's also about a realignment of boundaries and resetting of that. And I think that's also really important, because I think a lot of people feel like within friendships, you know, it, like, you probably hear it a lot on, like, social media, be like, oh, you know, when you're growing and you're evolving and you're, like, doing you, and, like, especially people in, like, personal development space, you might start finding yourself not aligning with people in your life.
Yeah.
And there's probably a lot of stuff out there that's like, you know, cut off that person, or, like, you know, you're growing, people are not going to align. And I'm sure I've got some content about things not aligning and stuff like that. But actually as well, I think it's going to be really helpful for the audience to think about what actually is a bit of a toxic cycle, and actually a toxic, maybe not so helpful energetic kind of agreement within friendships, and what actually is maybe just a mismatch of, like, values, or just a mismatch of kind of where you guys are at, but you can come back together. Like, what do you think has, in terms of like that energetic agreement within relationships that potentially aren't helpful, what do you think would be like the things that people can look out for, like within relationships that are not serving them?
I think probably it would be that those unwritten contracts, those unconscious contracts between the two of you, there is messy boundaries within it, is in it, there's not, it's not kind of healthy of where the space is between you are a separate person and so that anything between the two of you is on the condition of and obviously we do need conditions, you know. I think it's important to probably kind of say that, at least in how I see it, is that friendships and romantic relationships, I actually don't think can be unconditional love. There has to be conditions on that. It's not like a mother's love that's just unconditional. You're so you right, could yeah. do any, yeah, you know, my child can do anything, but I'll still love them. And actually for some parents, that's not the case either in terms of needing to put boundaries in place. But I think it's kind of, yeah, if there's healthy boundaries there, that's a good sign. If there's not, that's a questionable sign. And are there, like what we were talking about before, you know, is there unwritten contracts between the two of you that's actually coming from maybe a more wounded place in either you, them, or both of you? So whether that be we could be friends as long as, you were saying, like, as long as you don't shine brighter than me, or as long as I'm kind of the better one out of the two of us, or we can be friends as long as you show up for me 100% all the time. You never ever let me down. Don't you dare let me down, because that's got to be our...
It's those energetic agreements, isn't it? And I think actually that can be your first sign of... actually, are we completely healthy, and this is really, you know, and actually not any relationship's going to have balance, like it's going to have stuff, what's the word, right? Yeah, even really healthy, the most healthy soul aligned friendships, there's still going to be bits where maybe you're going to be a bit more needy or a bit less needy, or you know, you're going on your own journey as well, so we're not saying that, but what we are saying is, I think, is looking out for maybe where you're getting kind of pulled into being something a lot for this person and needing to have to show up in a way that suits them. That's maybe not suits yourself.
Like the pull. I would say that's a good thing. Do you feel certain feelings within that friendship or post seeing them that doesn't feel good? Do you tend to, for some reason, feel really guilty after you leave? Do you tend to feel as though you wasn't enough for them? Do you feel as though you've done something wrong? Do you actually just feel really angry at them and you come away feeling a bit, you know, pissed off? What's going on there, if there's like a consistent feeling of something doesn't actually feel good?
Yeah, doesn't feel good, doesn't feel like that. And you also sometimes as well, you can't always pinpoint it. Like, you could walk away from this interaction and there's not necessarily anything particular that happened. I don't know, say you've gone out, whether it's a group or with this one person, you can't necessarily say, oh, they said this obvious thing, or they did this thing, they were being a bitch, or whatever. Sometimes it's so subtle that, like Scarlett was saying, you walk away with this feeling of, like, why do I feel, like, deflated? Or why do I feel, like, energetically drained sometimes? You just walk away and you're like, whew, that didn't fill me up, that depleted me, or like anything, any of those sort of feelings, where actually start thinking about, are there any people in your life that make you feel like that? Because that might be a clue that you're in a little bit of an unhealthy pattern together, where perhaps somebody is getting their needs met fully from you, just like you were saying, we're only friends if you're 100% there for me, but then you become someone's almost, I don't know, like soundboard or someone. You become the friend that is always there for them and always willing to listen and always be there in a difficult time or anything like that. But then sometimes you're not seeing that reciprocated. And then actually that is sometimes a clue of that unhealthy relationship, because for a relationship to be healthy, there needs to be both of that, really. Like, you need to be able to both bring your stuff and both, you know, share that together. Like, you know, if you're having a more difficult time and that person is, where there's that delicate, like a seesaw, Like a gentle seesaw.
I would say that is probably maybe one of the leading things to feed into and look for, really, is exactly that, is the seesaw, the balance, the give and take. Yeah. Am I giving more than I'm receiving?
Yeah.
Or am I receiving more than I'm giving?
Yeah.
Doesn't even have to mean that either of you are like the toxic ones, that you're this really terrible toxic person, or that they are. But it might have just been that you just got into this really, like, just this pattern. Maybe like in the first few years of your friendship, your friend was going through something really major, so it meant that you showed up because you could, but that maybe set the tone for the friendship, and without it being really anyone's fault, actually you're giving a lot more than you then receive in that relationship. And that's, it's got to be a balance. And I think it is worth saying, and I think this takes a bit of courage to actually even ask yourself this question, but to actually maybe ask yourself, what am I getting from this relationship? If there is anybody in your life like this, of what am I getting? What am I getting out of it? Are they getting a whole load of stuff? They're getting my listening ear, or they're getting me always showing up at their doorstep when they need something.
Yeah.
Again, the other way around too, though, you know, what are they getting from me? Am I dragging myself to meet them, and I give them the leftovers of what I have left energetically, because I have a whole load of other people in my life. Actually, what are they getting from the friendship with me?
And actually, sometimes I think, just like we were saying about unconscious agreements and the roles we kind of play in relationships, I think over the years, as you grow and, you know, you find yourself on different paths, you find yourself on different journeys, sometimes then those needs are going to be slightly different, or they're going to change, or you might find yourself needing a little bit more support. If you've always been the one that sat back and listened, and always been a listening ear, and always been that kind of friend, what happens when you need to talk to that person? Are they going to be able to hold space for that? Because they're used to you being the one that does that for them. So if you then actually think, can I even talk to this person? And sometimes that can be really, really difficult in friendships, where you're like, been friends for this person for years or whatever, and then suddenly you're like, I've always been there for them, or I've always shown that I could be there for them, but actually now I'm going for this difficult thing, I don't really feel like I can reach out. And actually, that's not always about, you know, you being stubborn, or you being like, oh, I don't want to be vulnerable. Sometimes it's because there's something in you where there's that subtlety of like, I don't think I can be that person in the relationship. And that's where you get that massive sign that actually, or red flag I should say, that that's not necessarily healthy, because you do need that in a relationship for it to be able to thrive, is to have that give and take from both sides.
That's a good point, because sometimes it might be that they can't do that, or it might be that you're not giving them the opportunity to do that, because you're sticking to that unwritten contract.
Absolutely. Unwritten script. Such a good point.
Maybe your friend is there saying, hey, you know, you're the great listener, you're the great this, but give me a chance to do that. But you close down every time it comes to you opening up, and so you don't actually give them the opportunity to be that person. Yeah. Or again, same vice versa, they've been doing that to you.
Oh my gosh, such a good point. Yeah, because actually, you know, so often for us to think, oh, we can't do that because that person won't understand. And actually, if you don't give someone a chance to understand, how are they going to prove you wrong?
Neither of you know.
Prove you right. Yeah, exactly. Neither of you know. And I think actually this really makes me think about a lot in kind of like, again, we've said a little bit about roles we play, or masks that we might wear in certain relationships. And I feel like, again, these can be really unconscious, but when you show up in a certain way in a role, in a relationship, in a friendship, and it's not necessarily conscious, it's like a subconscious role that you're playing, it's kind of like wearing a mask, and you wear that mask in that situation, and that person knows that mask. But then you might find that in other situations, you can be in a situation where you can take the mask off and just be you and just be authentic. And I think some people might find that not necessarily like hard to get their head round, but again, it's such a subtle thing where maybe you feel like you have to show up in a certain way for this person, or maybe this person is expecting you to show up that way. So then you're putting your mask on. You're not letting them see you without the mask, but you're putting your mask on and feeling like you can't be something else. If you've got that mask on, you feel like you can't take that mask off. But then two things, you're not giving that person an opportunity to see you as your authentic self. So you won't know if they'll truly love you for that authentic self. You're not giving them a chance. And I don't know what my other point was. But you just don't know, do you? You don't know because you're not willing to take it off, or you don't know that you've got it on. But I think, again, going back to that toxic cycles or any red flags, sometimes it's just like, how do you feel after the friendship? Yeah. That's your sign that maybe you're wearing a mask, or maybe you're not being yourself entirely, or sometimes, you know, you're like overthinking when you're in the situation, so you're not being present. I mean, I could talk so much about how anxiety can get in the way, especially like with friendships and stuff like that, where some people are so caught up with that voice in their head that's like, you know, don't say something stupid, or don't be this, or don't be that, or like be a certain way, but then you're really not allowing yourself to like dip into your presence and be your presence in the relationship sometimes.
Oh, definitely. This is when it's hard to know, yeah, is it actually more to do with me getting caught up in my own head? And if there's that level of what I probably describe really as a level of social anxiety, doing that is a level of, because I think sometimes it's easy to underestimate that you're experiencing a level of that. If you know someone really well, it's like, oh, surely I'm not experiencing almost like social anxiety with a group of people I know really well. But I think that is exactly what can come forward if you feel you're very much in your head when you're having those interactions, or you're questioning, what are they thinking about me? Have they received that well? Do they think I was judging them there? Did they think badly of what? All of that really blocks their being able to be an authentic, you know, lovely flow between the two of you. So there is that there too.
And connection.
Connection.
Like, because if you're coming all from up here, where is that deeper connection?
Yeah.
Because you're coming all from your head and not like tapping into your heart, really, and your soul in a relationship. I was just had a really interesting point come into my mind as well. I think that sometimes when you grow and develop and change, you can also then get in your head in relationships, but there's also, because there's a part of you that feels like perhaps maybe you aren't aligning anymore as well. And I think that can come up as well sometimes for people, where they're like, I just don't know what to talk about, or I don't know what to say, or like I need to think of topics to bring to the conversation. Yeah. Where you, yeah, again, you're kind of worrying, but actually, because there's a sense of shifting and that where people have evolved, and actually you can kind of worry about what you're saying because you're actually not, you're almost trying to find things that you have in common still. Yeah. And I think that can happen to a lot of people. I was actually having a really good conversation the other night. We had some friends over for dinner, and this was coming from a guy as well, and he was sat there and we were just having a really honest, open, deep conversation. And he sort of laughed afterwards, and he was just like, you know, what would I say to the guys when they asked me how my weekend was on Monday morning? And he was just like, I can't be like, well, you know, I sat, had a great dinner, I talked about all these different topics. He's just like, I can't show up like that.
That's huge.
And I just thought that is so huge, where I think that's like nail on the head, where when you have grown and you've developed and you've changed and you find yourself talking about like deep things with certain people, and maybe you are attracting really good people into your life that kind of match that new level of who you are, sometimes it's really hard to then find anything to connect on again with some people that are in your life. Maybe they're not, you know, there's nothing wrong with those people. Maybe these are old friendships, maybe they're work colleagues, whoever they are, there's nothing wrong with them, but you might find yourself being like, I don't know how to connect with these people anymore because I've kind of moved in a different direction.
Yeah.
And you can get in your head about that, I think, a lot, where you start to overthink it as well. But actually, ultimately, you know, your growth and your kind of change is still, I think, it's still not the most important, really, isn't it? And I think continuing with that, the right people will find you and align, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I really see what you're saying with that, because I think you've also got to be almost brave enough to let yourself do that, right? To let yourself really recognize if you're not lining up with certain people.
Yeah.
And sometimes that will be that will just be like a natural ebbing and flowing that will go on. You know, I know for myself, there'll be friends in my life that's maybe been in my life for a really long time, and we'll go through periods where we're just not particularly messaging. That might be because maybe you're both single at the same time, and you all of a sudden just get into a flow of like I remember at different points there's been like friends of mine, you might message every day just because you're in a really similar place.
Yeah.
And then you sort of do this, right? You ebb and flow together. And they have lots of those people, they, you or them will come back to each other. There, I think there has to be room to do that, to breathe and to change. It's not, it isn't the same as a romantic relationship, right? You're not having to jump every single day for each other. But at the same time, allowing yourself to go, actually, just because I've been friends with this person for however many years, do I have to keep talking about those old topics of conversation or the things that I know interest them? Where do I get my needs met, or, you know, be able to line up with people who are on maybe the same page?
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like it's kind of linking in there. It's kind of thinking about sometimes where your values change. And actually, I think if your, you know, values aren't something that you decide they're your values and you keep them for life, like, values change and grow when you grow and change and you find yourself in different periods of your life. You know, it might be that a massive value for you now is freedom or independence. But, you know, you're single or you're in a relationship, you're no kids, you're not married, you're not got a house. Yeah. And actually, in 3, 4, 5 years time, the most important value to you is family. But it might not be that now. And I think actually that's also really difficult a lot for relationships, and that growth is also be willing to grow and change in your own directions. Like you said, expand outward. But you can come back together if you have still some, if you still have some values that align, and you still have something that pulls you back together. And that is, it's not always strong enough to be just because you have history. Just
not at all.
Like, you, it's like, just because you've been friends for 10, 15, 20 years, it's not always enough for that pulling away and coming back to work. And I think that's also really hard for a lot of people, is actually knowing that, you know, values change and you're gonna change, but there will be some people in your life that'll be able to follow that and keep with that outward inward motion like you described, and there'll be some people that fall away because they can't match that, they can't meet you where you are,
and that you can't meet them.
Yeah, exactly. You can't meet them where they are.
No, and it's sometimes it's no one's fault. Sometimes I think there is definitely the level of the stuff that we said of more toxic red flag style stuff where you're really actually being not valued or disrespected, or some really major musts are going on. But I think other than that, it can, you know, the type of person you would have dated 15 years ago, I know for me, that's slightly changed. So why wouldn't the friends that I would date, effectively, because it's kind of like dating, would I not date a new kind of friend? And
absolutely.
Sometimes, right, to go with that, like, you do get drawn back to your old ex from 15 years ago because it's like familiar and you know it and it's safe. But usually when you keep going back to that ex, you know it's not healthy for you. You know it's not that healthy. That's why it's,
you
like,
feel it in her, don't you? You feel like, why did I do that? Because it really feels like you're abandoning yourself a little bit.
Sure.
Like, you are abandoning yourself to, I don't know, have a need met or something like that, and that need could be connection in that moment, and going back to that person because you really need to connect actually is like, is not healthy and it's not helping.
This is a major thing as well to probably talk about is exactly within that of going back because I can't afford to lose this friend. I think something that a lot of people don't talk enough about is like, do I feel like I've got enough friends? And, you know, it's not like we all sit around with each other, right, and go, right, well, I've got 15 friends and I've got 5 friends and I've got 2 friends. And I think there's probably a lot of shame for lots of people that I know that I speak with of, really, when I nail it down, I've got maybe just a handful of friends.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Is that enough? Does that mean I then
is that
go
normal?
Back?
And I've got like bunny quotes here for the podcast listeners, because it's like, there's no normal.
No.
Like,
quality over quantity, probably, right? And that could be that you're somebody who's been able to really maintain 20 plus really amazing high quality friendships.
Yeah.
But I think what can cause you to go, you know, say go back to your ex is because you're like, well, I don't know who else to date right now. And it could be the same in friendships. Well, I'm going back to that friend. I care about them, but I don't know who else to, how on earth do I make new friends?
Absolutely. Oh my God, I think that's so, like, you end up finding yourself getting pulled back because sometimes there's that need for connection, just like we said, or you feel lonely and then you go back to people, but maybe it doesn't feel like it's really right anymore. And then you get those flags afterwards when you've left and you go, why do I feel depleted? Why do I feel you know, deflated. And I think that that is your sign. And I think it's really interesting, just like you said, of like, it's so common for people to be like, okay, I want a new relationship. I'll go meet people at the bar. Not like everyone wants to meet people at the bar, because you know that probably just one thing that you're going to get there. But, you know, like friends of friends, maybe there's like circles, stuff like that. You might meet a partner that way. You might go on a dating app. Like you might meet someone that way. You maybe might meet someone on Instagram or something like that. But when it comes to friendships, are you willing to do those things? Like, most people are embarrassed honestly. I think it's so, it's sad where we've moved so far with technology in this world and social media, yet still, and I have no shame to tell people how we met, and I think good to normalize that, because I'm like, if you're not meeting people in your circle and you're like your close circle, or you're finding that you're not really aligned with people in your circle anymore and you want to meet people outside of that, where do you go? What do you do? And it's like, well, there's no shame in doing what you would do in a relationship, like as in a romantic relationship, of like joining a site, like no sponsors, no ads here, but like there's things like Bumble for Friends, like there is nothing wrong with that. And I think actually we need to be braver in going and putting ourselves out there. And I think that's often what the hardest thing is to almost get out of your own head and not worry about what that's going to be like. So what, you go on a friend date on Bumble and it doesn't work out? Same like you would a romantic relationship. You wouldn't get hung up about that. You'd just be like, oh, okay, that one didn't work out, never mind.
Yeah.
Like, you'll be open to the right thing then coming and the right person coming along.
I think it's knowing it's not personal as well, right? The same with dating, knowing if it doesn't work, it's not personal. With old and new friends.
Yeah.
But being able to, it is hard. Like, I do think, like, even, like, what we was, like, joking about earlier, like, it did cross my mind, like, when I messaged you, like, is that a bit of a weird thing to do? But I think, obviously, when it's coming with good intention, when there's no pressure in it, because it's not as accepted. You know, if you're dating someone, it might be more accepted to kind of be like, you know, with a few people, you know, oh, do you know anyone that I could date? Is anyone you know looking for somebody to date? Hook us up, let's go on a date. Oh, but you wouldn't do that.
I was just thinking in terms of friendship circles, if you were like, oh, do you know anyone, like if you said that to a friend,
like, what's wrong with me? Why are you looking to date?
Why do you need to date another friend? What's wrong with me? And actually people get, you know, and rightly so, understand, but obviously some people get offended by that, and you just think, that's not always mean that there's anything wrong with you.
Like, plenty of friends I could, you know, be friends with. But because it's different, because
people find that hard sometimes.
The thing is, friendships are, I suppose, arguably almost like a form of polyamorous relationship outside of the romantic set.
Yeah.
You're not monogamous in a friendship, are you? It's not like, we're friends and you're my only friend and I can't cheat on you with anybody else. So it's like how you give yourself permission to constantly be moving through that and again, with the toxic stuff, is there actually a friend in your life who maybe is a bit insecure when it comes to that, who could be like, how dare you meet another friend? How dare you have friends with people that aren't me? As though you'd be cheating on them.
How dare you be friends with my friend? Like, especially if it was their friend and they accidentally introduced you and, like, you know, they were close, but then you ended up, like, sharing numbers or something like that. That can cause so much kind of... anger and frustrate and upset. And actually, I think that can be really sad, because it's like... it's nothing on you and your friendship with that person. If they get close with that other person, you know, like, it's something that there's positive and to be celebrated. But, you know, I've definitely been on that journey. I will hold my hands up. When I was a lot younger, I was so insecure. And I was scared, like, if I met a friend, or I had a friend and they got introduced to, like, a friend of mine, they would like them more. So then they would just not hang out with
me.
Not hang out with me anymore because they like this friend. And I was like, I think it's important to say that, because that was coming from a really insecure place. Like, I would not do that now, but it's only because I've done a lot of healing and growth. And actually, I now have got to the point where the people in my life who are really close and really tight, I want them to meet. I want them to be able to share that. I want them to be able to, you know, bond and be a part of my life and be like, you know, that sort of thing. But I was just like, I can resonate with that person who was really insecure, and I can totally resonate with that. And actually, it's a sign for some healing for you.
That's it. It's okay if you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, I think I'm that person. I think I'm that one that's doing that. That's okay. You said, that's maybe a sign for some inner healing. It's definitely a sign
for some self-love.
Absolutely a sign for some self-love of I don't need to be insecure about that because I'm valuable. Ultimately, this is about you realizing you're valuable.
Absolutely. I think that's what it comes down to. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that you do, whether you're listening and you've got however many friends or you don't feel like you have a lot of friends, it's knowing that that doesn't say anything about you. Your value isn't judged on how many friends you have. Your value is immeasurable. Like, you are value and special just by being you, and there'll be people that you may not have met yet that will appreciate and love you for you. And I think that's a massive thing, and also a massive message that I really want to share, is that, you know, I have gone on that journey where I've been really insecure, and I've been in relationships that perhaps matched a mask that I was wearing. You know, I would be the friend that would show up and listen all night to someone's problems and hold space for them and be that savior or whatever you want to call it, healer for them. And actually, you get to a point where you kind of repeat those same cycles and you have those sort of similar friendships, and you have to ask yourself, like, what are my needs and what's important to me? And well, how do I want to actually show up in the relationship? Who am I in this? Who am I? It's also a very broad question. And I think coming through that journey for me, where I've definitely seen myself shift and change, where I've gone from very insecure, very self-doubting, people pleaser, I mean, you name it, I've probably been there. And actually, once I did healing and once I focused on myself and I did a lot of personal development and I did a lot of self-love work, that's what I sort of mentioned there, I got to the point where I was able to start attracting people that then matched more of the authentic side of me rather than the wounded side of me.
Yeah,
and I think it's so close to my heart, is what I'm trying to say. It's like when you go on that journey, and again, there's nothing wrong with any people in that old part of your life or who you used to be. It's nothing on those sort of people. I often think that people get caught up thinking certain people are toxic or certain things. Yeah. Essentially, like, no, people aren't toxic, but you can end up in toxic patterns. Yeah. You can end up being something that you're not in a relationship. You can end up being a masked version of yourself. And actually, once you start growing, once you start loving yourself and knowing that you are inherently worthy and you are inherently valuable and special, and, you know, people want to be around you for that and connect with you for that, you'll start realizing, like, it's okay to take my mask off. It's okay for me to show up as... It's such a serious point of my conversation as well. I think then it becomes safe to take that mask off. And I think that's often, again, like we said, really tricky for people because they just feel like, well, what then? What if I heal? I do all of this and I don't feel like I align with people anymore in my life.
Scary.
What do I do then? And that literally comes back to our conversation. You start putting yourself out there. You start finding your tribe and making it your mission to connect with like-minded women or like-minded men or whoever it is. But people who doesn't need to be that they're on the same path as you, but they have the same values or they connect with you on a soul level where you just feel like, I can show up, not unconditionally in the sense of, yeah, I can show up whoever and they'll love me, but I can just show up and be me and that's enough.
Yeah.
And that is, I think for me, the sign of the purest friendship and relationship, when you can just show up and you don't worry and you just be you.
And you just feel good, you know? Mm. You're not all the time, right, feeling good, depending on what's going on separately to be in your own life, but when you can show up authentically and you can feel that person likes that in you, you can feel they like you in your most authentic way. But it is big, isn't it, like, actually being able to say, do you know what, maybe I'm going to put myself out there and look for spaces to meet new people. I think though, when you do that, that you realise there is, like, you could join, you know, so many different groups. You could join a new choir. You could join, I don't know, whatever you're into, a choir, a yoga class, a this or that, a retreat going on. Online communities. You don't even need to leave your house.
Yeah. But also, like, online communities where maybe, like, within that, you then find a group that, like, in your area, like, you know, London. Yeah. Girls that like spirituality or whatever, there's going to be thousands.
Yeah, there are ways. If you want to, there are ways. It's, I think it's knowing that it's okay to do that and getting past that, getting past the taboo of I'm such a loser because I've not got enough friends and I need to go and get new friends. Like, you're not. You are not that. If you're telling yourself you're that, it's not true. Why wouldn't you after however many years of leaving, like, school, university, all these places that we naturally meet people, why wouldn't you want to welcome in new people in your life?
Absolutely. And I think it'd be really nice for us to talk about how do we get braver and think about that and, like, look at that and what is, like, what's good things to look out for, like, all of those sort of things. But I might stop for a toilet break.
Let's stop for a toilet break. Let's do it.
So for everyone, we are back from our toilet break. I'm just getting comfy. We've actually gone for like a whole hour now. Obviously, we will need to maybe, I don't know if we need to edit anything out actually. I feel like most of the conversation has just been pretty candid and pretty raw and honest. And I think that's what we wanted for this episode. Sorry, I'm really breathy. I just like ran from the loo. And I'm like, like centered myself back. Back in the room. Mm. Yeah, I think we just wanted to share a little bit more about that kind of being brave and opening yourself up for something new.
Yes.
And I think this is often the hardest part, is because there's a bit of a balance of to open yourself up to something new. Mm. Often that means energetically letting go of something old. Mm. And actually that tends to be a really difficult thing for people, of being like, hey, I want to meet friends. Do I have to let go of old ones first, or do I have to stop spending as much time with them? Like, this is going to be different for everyone. If you are actually here and you're thinking, yeah, I just really want to connect with some more like-minded women, I just want to open myself up to that, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to go and dump everyone. Like, there might be people in your life that you know, genuinely love and still care about and still want to see, but you know, you see them like twice a year. But you might want to open yourself up to more relationships where you're like, actually, I want to have someone where maybe I see them every, I don't know, 2 weeks to a month or something like that, where you see them more frequently, like monthly, but it's a different relationship. Yeah. So I think it's really, really important for us to talk about, like we said, how do we open ourselves up to that? And I think there's two elements to this, isn't there? Is thinking about energetics, thinking about the actions we take, and also like releasing the thoughts.
Yeah.
What's the first step of like welcoming in someone new into your life? What would you say?
I would say even just the intention, a bit like what we were saying, when we became friends of each other a year ago, I set the intention and you set the intention of wanting that. If you haven't done that, then whether or not you believe in almost like manifestation and all of that kind of stuff, it's really hard to actually be open to something that you've not set the intention of, because it could hit you smack in the face. Like, literally, I would have been seeing you every time I'm scrolling through. If I hadn't set that intention, I wouldn't have gone, oh, I set an intention. What was that intention again? Oh, yeah, I'm going to reach out.
But also, you wouldn't have necessarily had the nudge to reach out because you hadn't set the intention. So I was right there in your face. But you wouldn't have necessarily known that was like the clue. That makes sense.
Yeah, that there was someone there to connect with.
Until we set the intention, sometimes we don't always see the opportunity in front of us. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Definitely. I think as well, maybe being really honest with yourself on how you feel about change and about new things. Because I would say if you're somebody who has felt as though they've maybe got quite stagnant with something like an area of what we talk about over friendships, relationships, then I would say probably chances are that won't be the only area.
Yeah.
It might even just be that you need a good clear out of your home. You need to chuck a few things away, or you need to just bring something fresh in. Yeah. Or you might be the person who has been going to the same coffee shop every single day for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. And there are five other coffee shops in your area and you just haven't gone to them, mm-hmm. it's almost like, can you start doing something, if this does relate to you, that just pushes yourself a little bit out of your comfort zone? Yeah. You don't have to do, like, I realised kind of what I did reaching out to you was quite a big step. You don't, it doesn't have to be anywhere near that right now. It could just be, where do I place myself and put myself in situations that, one, takes me out of my comfort zone,
yeah.
but two, actually puts me in a position that could lead me to meeting someone?
Absolutely.
Like, are you going and spending your time in places, whether it be online, in the real world, are you putting yourself in places where the type of person you would want to be friends with is going to be?
Yes.
Or are you going to the same dodgy bar where anyone in that bar, you, no way do you want to be friends with them. Like, if, yeah. you, if you're going there all the time, you're not going to meet someone that lines up.
Absolutely agree. And also on that point as well, is that then if you are going in with the intention, yes, broadly speaking, I want to meet new people, broadly speaking, I'm opening myself up energetically, even just declaring it to yourself, just saying it out loud, writing it in your journal, I declare I'm ready and open for new soul-aligned, healthy relationships to walk into my life. I am saying, opening myself up to that, then putting yourself in those situations, but putting yourself in those situations with a clean energy of, I will meet the right person at the right time and it's going to happen in an organic way, yeah. because the universe is always on your side. The universe will allow situations. You might get a thought come into your mind, an opportunity, you bump into someone literally out of nowhere and they're just like, oh hey, I love your coat, like, where's that from? And you just start talking. But if you're not willing to be brave and put yourself in a situation where you could meet someone organically, it's not going to happen. And like, literally, like we said, it doesn't need to be, you know, you're going and finding and seeking people out on Instagram or anything like that. Those steps might feel really, really big, and not feel aligned, right? It doesn't feel right. You know, that felt like an aligned decision. And I think it was a universe putting that, so we would come together, putting that idea there. And that might be it. It might be an idea to message someone, but actually it might be, I really just want to open myself up, so I'm going to start putting myself in situations where I could meet someone. But holding on to the very, this is often the tricky part, I think, holding on to the light energy of it. Like, yeah. I am being open, but I'm not forcing. Like, yeah. I set the intention to manifest new, like, friendships that felt more soul aligned. And you popped into my life. You literally dropped out of nowhere. Like, I know I'd seen your name and stuff like that, but like, the universe was literally like, here you go. Like, and actually it can be that easy. You still take action, you know, still pop yourself. If I wasn't on Instagram, that was my action. If it wasn't Instagram, I wouldn't necessarily have had the opportunity to connect with you. And actually I think people feeling like they're open, but they're not like, what's the word? Like, kind of, I need to find someone. Like, I need to find someone who gets
desperate
me.
Desperate energy.
Like, that's not going to... Yeah, oh, yeah, 100%. It's almost like, exactly, if you just start... This comes back to self-love, doesn't it?
It does.
If you start focusing on you, you know, you start taking yourself on coffee dates. Hanging out with yourself, you know, romanticize your life. Like, honestly, I had such a nice morning. This was actually quite a while ago, maybe like 2 months ago. I had an eye test and it was like, I don't know, 9:30 on a Saturday. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to romanticize my whole morning. Like, I got myself up, full face of makeup, took myself to my eyes. Actually, I cycled down a forest bike, took myself to my eye test, went and did shopping, sat in a coffee shop and like had a date with myself. Yeah, and I think that's the kind of energy you want to be in, where you're like, can you start just loving yourself and really put time into yourself? Because then you're going to be able to be open to attract the type of people that match that. Okay. So there's definitely like there's like two elements here of actually really focusing on you and like healing you. And I think that comes for any, if you want to attract anything, a relationship partner or a friendship, but also being brave. And like you said, putting yourself into situations where you're going to meet someone.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely, because it's that unconscious stuff you're putting out otherwise. If you're saying, well, I don't particularly want to go for a coffee with me, I don't particularly find me that interesting, what you're going to be putting out there is literally saying that to the rest of the world. Yeah. Oh, don't bother being friends with me, it's not that great being friends with me. Like, you've got to go, no, really like me, I'd want to be friends with me.
Yeah.
And that might feel a million miles away from where you are. Yeah. If you are, that's okay, you know, just start to take steps towards actually, maybe I'm not that bad. Actually, you know, I've got that to bring to a friendship. I've got this to bring to. I've got a good sense of humour.
That's a brilliant idea. I think actually use that as an exercise. Yeah. Write down in your journal.
What you bring?
On a piece of paper, what is freaking good about you? Yeah. What do you bring? Why would people want to freaking bite your arm off to hang out with you?
Definitely. Well,
because you have some. Everybody has something.
Everybody.
If you are a really good listener, you can still be a great listener and be the sort of person that people rely on and lean on. But there's also a balance, you know, like it that you can be that in a healthy relationship, right? Yeah. Like we talked about it in a negative way, but you can be the great listener and you can be the one that...
The quality.
Yeah, that people want to hang out with because you're always there to kind of listen and validate. But you can be that without being abused for it kind of thing as well, I think. But yeah, I think it's a really... It's a really like delicate balance, but I think because it can be so hard, but like just like you said, with a desperate energy, whatever you're manifesting or trying to attract into your life, it can never be from that energy, can it? It always comes back to kind of cleaning your energy and making sure that you're not coming from that sort of place. And actually, you know, let's think about that then. What about everyone who genuinely does feel really lonely? Like they don't feel like they align, they don't feel like they know how to put themselves out there, and they're feeling really freaking lonely right now. Like, what would we say to those people?
I would say like a low pressure coming out of that space. If you're in that space right now, trying to jump from there to, again, do it a bit like what we did with each other of like, exactly. Yeah, great, let's make a new friend. Exactly. That is going to feel really, really difficult to do.
And so far away from each other. Like they're just polar places, headspaces.
Totally different. Don't put that pressure on yourself. Do something low key, as in like show up to that massive class where you're at the back, where you don't talk to anybody, yoga class, whatever, you have to be into yoga, but something like that, where you're just around other human beings, you get out of the house, you realise, other people exist. I'm not going to talk to anybody in this room tonight, but if I wanted to, there are other human beings there. And that just starts to get you opening up to the idea that other people exist. Maybe if those people exist, maybe I could one day become friends with those people, or I could even just strike up a conversation with those people.
Absolutely, because I think that's the hardest thing, is that a lot of women will be like, well, okay, I'm maybe into personal development, spirituality, yoga, wellness, health, and everyone in my life isn't, and that's why I want to meet new people, but then I don't know where to go, and then I feel really lonely because I don't really fit in with where I'm at, but I'm not quite, it's like, you know, like butterfly, got from the caterpillar to the butterfly, you're not quite being the butterfly yet, but you're not a caterpillar anymore, and you're just kind of mush. you're in the middle mush. And you're going through that transition and you don't quite know how to get through and you feel really freaking lonely. And I think that's the perfect thing is, okay, pressure off, you know, you're realising, first of all, acceptance. Yeah. I think it's okay to be fucking lonely. And actually, you know what? The thing that I would do that I love would be go to my journal and just be like, yeah, I'm freaking lonely. Like, I see it. I hold space for it.
Own it.
Sit with the feeling. Because the biggest thing that I think people... don't realize is that like pushing that emotion down and pushing it and pushing it and pushing it doesn't mean it's not there anymore. It doesn't get rid of it. You pretending you're fine or hanging out with some people that you don't like, it's not going to push away the loneliness. You're just burying it deeper within. But what happens is it's growing roots and it's growing and it's getting bigger and bigger until you just say to yourself, you know what, I accept it. I feel lonely. I don't like where I am right now. I'm completely just holding space for this. Let yourself cry. Let yourself journal it out. Let yourself really just feel it. Because once you stop avoiding that feeling, you finally open yourself up to be able to feel something new, to make space for something new. And I think until you get to that point and actually fully see the loneliness for what it is, that you can't move on, it's because so you're just burying it. Whereas once you just sit there and go, you know what, I get it. I'm lonely. I'm here. I accept it, and I'm willing and wanting to open myself up. Once you just get through that, that would be like the first step.
That's really, really. And knowing that being able to admit that you're feeling lonely does not have to have any shame in it. I know you might feel shame with it, but it really doesn't. It's actually the most normal thing if you think about it.
Yeah.
As a human being, in the absence of feeling connected relationships or part of a community, the most normal thing as a human being is, as a result of that, to feel lonely.
Yeah.
So if you're not feeling connected to people around you, I imagine you feel lonely. Why wouldn't you feel lonely? Maybe normalize, and well, we're normalizing it right now, but normalize it to yourself that, yeah, why wouldn't I feel that?
Absolutely. And knowing that it's okay and it's normal. And actually, I think, again, coming back to the people that might be listening to this podcast are likely to be spiritual listeners, personal development, business women, entrepreneurship. And actually, I think a lot of you could probably resonate to the fact that you have probably felt lonely at some point. So actually knowing as well. Yeah,
for sure.
So have I, yeah, definitely. Especially on my personal development journey. It's been so many times on, I felt lonely, or you felt like you just don't know who to connect with, or... like, who gets it? I think this is one of the things that we need as a human, is to feel like someone just gets us and someone just understands us and actually knows what we've been through. Or even if they don't like know what you've been through, they're willing to hold space for it. Actually, it's so interesting. So there's this video that's coming to my mind, right? I don't know what it's called, but I would 100% Google it, because it's going to do a far better description of me being able to describe it. But it's like this video from Brené Brown, and it's an animation, but it talks about the difference between empathy and sympathy. And it was telling, she's sort of talking to an audience, but it's with a video, if that makes sense, so you can really see it. And it was just talking about the difference between empathy, where, you know, you feel like you've fallen down a hole and you're there and, you know, you're having a shit time and you're like, I think the example they use is something like, oh, someone's been kicked out of school, like it's like a parent or whatever, and they're like, oh, so-and-so's been kicked out of school. And, you know, empathy comes down and sits with you in that moment and can connect with you, because they also connect with the feeling themselves. Yeah. Like, they have to find that part of them that connects with it in themselves. I don't know why I'm on this, but for some reason this thought has just come out of nowhere. So I feel like I need to share it. But it's empathy is really about, when someone's feeling that rain cloud, you have to connect with your own rain cloud to fully be able to connect with them for where they are and where they feel and how they're feeling right now. Sympathy comes down from the top of the hole, like points their little head down. Oh, okay, you're having a really rough time down there, aren't you?
Sorry to hear that.
Sorry to hear that.
It's a card, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that sounds really rough. Or actually, it just turns around and be like, at least it's not so bad, or at least actually, you know, something else could be worse. And that's sympathy. And most people don't realise the difference. Like, most people think people were like being sympathetic, like, oh, yeah, that must be
nodding your head.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah. And actually, I'm thinking, I'm finding it hard to sympathise, because naturally I was more empathetic. So actually, I'm trying to find it hard to find what sympathy would be, but it'd be just be like, oh, yeah, but at least, I think, is probably the best way to be like someone who can sympathise, but they will always try and find like a silver lining. Whereas someone who's can empathise is, they can sit down and they can hold space and know where you've been at. And I think why this came into my head is because I think why we can talk about this and be so open is not only because we've, you know, been spiritual women, we've also, you know, become really good friends, but we've also can identify the times in our lives where maybe we have felt lonely. And I think that's actually sharing that and voicing that, I hope someone else can connect with that, and that actually makes them feel less lonely.
Yeah, I
feel like that's like what would be like my goal from this, is someone listens and just be like, oh my God, yeah, just hearing you guys talk about this has just really just helped in any way, shape or form. Then I feel like that's it. I'm absolutely chuffed if that's done that.
Me too. Someone. I really think so many people feel lonely in for so many reasons, especially in the era that we're in. I think I really do.
Yeah, with social media as well, I think it can be so easy for, I mean, we could talk about this still probably all day and going on to this topic about the goods and bads of social media, what I will say is like the whole highlight reel and people seeing an aspect of people's lives and thinking that, you know, they don't get lonely, or they're like putting all their friends all over Instagram, or they're so lucky, blah, blah, blah. You know, everyone is showing highlights. Like, everyone is showing these really positive things. But there will be people out there that will also have been in a similar situation or know what it's like, and actually thinking about how you can get that connection, and whether that is in real life, but also it can be online, right? Like, you can start online, you know, jump into some communities, find some places where you feel like you can just have conversations, even if those start online. Yeah. Like, I've gotten also another really good friend of mine who I actually do want to have on the podcast at some point, but she lives in Canada, we've never met.
I love that.
But we still talk, we still connect, and you know, we still have really good conversations, and she is a good friend. And I think that's also, there's also nothing wrong with that too. I think, yes, 100%, if you want to meet people and attract people in your real life, great. But there's also going to be people that you can even just connect with, so you can just feel like, oh, I just feel like that person gets me. I just feel like that person understands me or has been on a similar journey, and that could be someone that maybe is online or in another country.
Yeah, it could be a different age to you, could be way older than you, maybe even younger than you, and it's taken off the taboos of, oh, you know, can you really do that? Yeah, you can.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can. You need connections.
It's the 21st century. You can absolutely.
You do you.
Yeah.
You do you. Though.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really lovely note to end on, of just being like, no shame. Be brave, put yourself out there. But actually, if that feels like a big step, just like Scarlett was saying, start small.
Start smaller than small. Yeah, literally, bringing it back until you can actually do that thing.
Exactly, and to the point where you're like, okay, you know what? The first thing I'm going to focus on is just being a bit braver. Being a bit different. Putting myself in a new situation that made me feel a bit uncomfortable, but I can manage it.
Yeah.
And that's the best place to start. And that is going to start taking you to the place that you really want to be, not only within yourself, but within your life, within your reality, within the people that you have in your life as well. Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you.
It's been such a nice chat. Like, we have just sat here, we had hot chocolate, we had cards, and obviously chatting to you guys the whole time, guys. Again, if you're just listening on the podcast, Kiara has sat between us the whole
extra sister with us, isn't she?
And she has just not moved, literally.
She wants to be here.
It's been so cute. It's been lovely.
Thank you so much. Oh, thank you.
So glad.
It's just been such a lovely thing to do, to talk in this way. I feel like even though we know each other, it's like we're having conversations right now that we haven't had yet, and I'm like, I've got so much to take away from this myself.
Absolutely. And I really just hope like some of our listeners are going to take something away from today, as just being like, whether it was a little snippet, an idea, or just even just to feel a little bit more seen or like held on their own experience, I think will just be so amazing. So also, whilst we're on it, for our listeners, where can we find you? And also, I think, have you got something to share with us as well that you'd like to talk about?
So yeah, so you can find me on Instagram as a Scarlet Sanctuary. I've also got a membership space called the Scarlet Sanctuary, which is basically an online platform to come, and you'll get different audios on there to lean into. In a way, it's kind of a lot of that stuff is so that you're not feeling too alone. There's loads on there. You check that out if you want to. And my website is scarletjeffrey.com. Have a look on there. I work as a therapist, as a counsellor, so I'm trained as a therapist. But yeah, bringing lots of different aspects to my work. So yeah, if you feel you want to join me on there, absolutely do. I've got courses you can join, membership space. If you feel in any way energetically drawn to me in this space, then feel free to do that.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you so much. And actually as well, she's being very modest. Can I share it?
I don't know what it is, but
Scarlett also has a wonderful course about those understanding toxic cycles, relationships, patterns,
romantic ones,
specifically romantic. So if that is something you're interested in, where can they find that? Where can you get the details on that?
So it'll be on my Instagram page, you'll be able to see it, on my website as well, you'll be able to see it. It's all about how it's 12-week course on how to recognise the dynamics that are playing out in romantic relationships, why you keep laying up the same person that's not satisfying your needs, and basically how to go on a 12-week journey with me to totally transform that pattern. So it really takes you from I'm not feeling fulfilled in relationships to I actually feel I can go out and meet someone now, and I can hold my boundaries.
Oh, I love that. I think there's so many listeners who are going to probably resonate with that and just be like, actually, I want to work on me. Yeah. I want to know why I'm keep attracting these awful partners, yeah. relationships, or what's yeah, happening, yeah. and really pull that apart. So yeah,
there's a reason why you'll discover the reasons why. Like, oh,
absolutely, yeah. I think it's going to be fantastic. So yeah, mm-hmm. We will leave any links or anything that you need to find Scarlett or myself as well in the description, so you've got all of that in one place, so you don't need to go and hunt the internet. But yeah, I really hope you enjoyed this episode, guys. It's been absolute so much fun. It's been really nice and chilled for us. But also as well, like, we would love your feedback if you felt, you know, you'd love us to talk about another like topic. Like, we have got so many different things that I think we feel like we could share on. But we also don't want to bore you if it's been like a really long-winded
talk
episode.
About so many things. Like, what else can we talk about?
Honestly, we could just sit here and chat all about different things. So if you have enjoyed this episode, if you have felt it's helped in any way, you just feel like, yes, I'd love to hear a little bit more of a take on this or that, please, please, please do reach out. Please do contact. You can message me at the Sis Collective _. That's where you can find me mostly now. But also, yeah, you can reach out on reviews as well. Share your thoughts, share any ideas that you have, because that really, really matters. I think the one thing I've wanted to say about this podcast is it is a space for us to be able to grow, come together. I really want to create that community feel. So if there is anything that you want to chat about or have us chat about, I think there's going to be so many other people that are going to resonate with that as well. So thank you, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And yeah, we may see you soon together. But yeah, if not, we've absolutely loved doing this episode. So yeah, enjoy.